Bibles, please. Psalm 78. We're going to read verses 4 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively, and then I'll pray. And then we're going to jump right into the message. I'm not going to promise you, but I really think I might let you out just a titch early. All right? That means we're going 10 minutes over. If I tell you that we're going to get it, then it's not going to happen, but I think. All right? Psalm 78, we're going to read verses 4 through 7 together. Let's read them responsively. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And let's pray. Father, Lord, I do hope that when we put our pillow on our head tonight to go to sleep, when we close our eyes, I hope that you can look down and say, I had a good day because of the people of Grace Baptist Church. I hope that we're closer to you because of it. I hope that you get a little more of what you deserve. But Lord, I pray that in my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and generations to come, that they will have a good day in many years to come because of what happens today. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. We serve and have a great God. Amen. I'm so glad our God's not just a name. He's not a fat little figure with a bald head and a big round belly. He's not dead and laying in a grave. No, Joe, I'm not talking about you. He did it, not me. He went like this. He's not a hater of people like Muhammad and Allah claim it to be, and the religions that follow them. But may I say this, I thank God we serve a true and living God. Yes. Now, I cannot blame all of the evil of our day and all of the bad and all of the goings-on because of the God-hating people, though. Listen to me very carefully. Most of the troubles of today are not due to the lost people, it's due to the Christians. The problem today is that God's people aren't talking about how great God is.
Yes.
You want to blame the White House, but what's happened in the church house in the last 40 years? The problem's not in the White House, the problem's in the church house. The problem isn't with the lost people. The problem today isn't the loudness of the bad. It's the quietness of the good.
Yes, amen.
I've said that for a lot of years. Miss Lopez nodding her head. I preached that to teenagers 30 years ago. The problem today is not how loud the bad people are. It's how quiet we people that have the truth are. Why should we be afraid to tell somebody how to go to heaven?
Amen.
Why should we be embarrassed about it? Yesterday, Brother Ron and I were out soul winning and making some visits, and I stepped away from a door and turned this way. I turned around, and he wasn't there, and looked over here, and he's waddling over to a lady over here on a step, and I walked over, and he said, "This is my preacher," and I knelt down, and he had already given her a track, and I asked her if she knew for sure she was going to heaven, and opened my Bible and showed her how she could know for sure she'd going to heaven. And she had got to the end, she said, "Oh, I did get saved a long time ago." I said, "Good, that's all you needed to know." She'd been messed up with some other doctrine since she got saved, but she got it squared away yesterday, amen. Now, wait a minute. You say, weren't you afraid of what? Why should I be afraid because I have the truth? I'm afraid somebody's not going to get the truth. Now, generation after generation gets weaker and weaker for God. I hate to tell you this, some of you couldn't take the preaching of J. Frank Norris. Some of you couldn't handle the preaching of a Lester Roloff or a Lee Robertson or a J. Frank Norris. Our generation today would put men like that in jail because they're too rough. Now, You say, what's happened? We've become... let me read what I wrote here. Christians are afraid to stand up and talk about him. Now Christians are almost viewed as the evil ones, and the evil is now viewed as right. And I blame Christians, the spineless, weak-kneed, pussy-footing, liberal preachers for it. Let me say that again. I blame a bunch of spineless, weak-kneed, pussy-footing Baptist preachers who are afraid to get up and say, thus saith the Lord. We want to cowtail to the world and dress like the world and be like the world. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and not in the world, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, I don't want to come across as harsh. Well, come across as harsh. Truth is harsh to error.
Yes, right.
Truth makes darkness flee. Darkness shouldn't make light flee.
No,
we shouldn't be afraid of the truth. Now, it's not the lost world's fault. It's our fault, folks.
Right.
When's the last time you told anybody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time... Somebody sent me something this week. It's old, but it fit real well right here. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to put you in jail?
Yep. Good question.
We have reared generation after generation of young people who are afraid to stand for God.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you something. I thank God I grew up in a home where I had a daddy as a man who was a godly deacon. I had a 6'4", 235-pound pastor that wasn't afraid to preach the truth. And he preached it plain and simple. I was also afraid to go to him after I put all the gospel tracts on the statue of Mother Mary at the Catholic church half a block from our church. He called me and he said, Greg, did you do that? Yes, sir, I did. Wasn't that cool? He said, next time don't use the tracks that have my picture on it. Oops. He wasn't as happy about that because he got a call from the local Holy Father that wasn't real happy with him. Now, wait a minute. What's happened to Christian young people today? The average music in the average church today is more worldly than the world music was 40 and 50 years ago. The honky-tonk music in Christianity today is unbelievable. The long-haired maggots singing it and writing it, and we think it's wonderful stuff. It's called contemporary Christian music. Why do we want to be like the world? Why do we want to get up and jiggle around and slide our notes and sound like a bunch of barroom huzzy singing songs? Say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, don't say it, but that's what it is. I think we ought to sing it pure, sing it right, play it pure, play it right. Thank God for all of you that are playing instruments and doing it. And Brother Stoltz, he plays the guitar and the harmonica and everything else. But it can be played right to the glory of God. It doesn't have to be played honky-tonk style. You know how many times he'll say, preacher, did I do okay? Did I? I don't want to go the wrong direction with this. And thank God he's sensitive to that. Can I tell you something? We ought to have the old-fashioned way, not the new-fangled way.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, Christian young people need to lead good, godly lives and not sourpuss, sucking pickle juice attitudes. Now, I realize growing up's not easy. But just so you know, who wants to be like the world? Why in the world you grow up in a church like this and you want to act like the world, dress like the world, be like the world, and have the world's attitude, I do not understand. I'm sorry.
That's right.
There's nothing in the world that is pleasant or right.
That's right.
I know what I'm talking about. Having babies out of wedlock is not fun.
Amen.
Getting drunk and recovering from it is not fun.
No, sir.
Getting addicted to drugs is not fun. And I'm just going to go ahead and shoot the whole wad while I'm here. Sending naked pictures of yourself over your stupid cell phones isn't good either.
Yes.
Anybody doing all right?
Yes.
You say, our kids won't do that. It's one of the biggest things going in America today.
Yes, sir.
One reason this preacher stands up and says no teenager ought to have a phone, that's one of the reasons.
Exactly.
I've tried to be nice and kind about it, but I'm just throwing it all out there.
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while, you got to pull the shotgun out and pull both triggers at the same time. Amen? Boom, boom, at the same time. You wonder why our young people walk around, oh, God hates me, I don't want anything to do with serving God, being a Christian, there's no fun in that. You can't have no fun as a Christian. Well, if you looked in the mirror, you'd know why you don't have any fun. Just because you're not having fun doesn't mean there's not fun in it.
That's right.
Amen.
You're looking at the wrong thing as fun.
Yes.
Stadiums all over America today were packed with people sitting watching stupid baseball games rather than going to church.
Wrong.
Sorry, I have a problem with it.
Amen.
I like baseball. I like sports. But may I say something? For a Christian young person who wants to get involved in professional sports, you can't be a good Christian. You'll miss too much church to be a good Christian. You can talk about how wonderful Peyton Manning is, and I liked Peyton Manning as a player, and I think he's a decent guy, but he's not a real good Christian. You don't miss Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for 20 years playing football to be a good Christian. And then, on your last football game, talk about going home and drinking beer. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Now, God tells us here in verse number 7 that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Can I tell you something? He tells us who this that they might not forget is. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their... Who is it? Their children. Uh-oh. Showing the generation to come. Wow. Look at verse number 5, the last part. That they should make them known to their children. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children. God tells us here that not only should we praise God, but we need to pass it down to our children, and they're to pass it down to their children, and they're to teach their children to pass it down another generation.
Yes, sir.
We have lost generation after generation after generation after generation of Christian people who have forgotten the works of God. Did you know it used to be a normal thing in churches for people to come and visit and people to get saved and people to get baptized, but anymore, it's a novelty? What a shame. I do not believe for a moment that the greatest generation of building a work for God is over. I don't believe it. I don't believe the greatest generation of church building is past. I believe it's possible today. You say, how do you know that? Because God's not a respecter of person. The same God today is the same God that was the God of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It was the same God of J. Frank Norris, of Billy Sunday, of Lester Roloff, of Lee Robertson, and of Jack Hiles. I was an assistant pastor to Brother Hiles. I knew the man. I worked with him. But may I say this, I don't believe that the greatest days of church building are over. God didn't say, I'll be good to one man in every generation and that's it. God said, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If God's the same God of Charles Spurgeon, he can fill me with the same Holy Spirit he filled Spurgeon with. I just have to be as yielded as Spurgeon was. Everybody doing all right? Boy, I'm having fun right now. God can be just as influential and powerful and bless us as he has any other generation in history. God bless the pea-picking little preacher boy that walked up to me at Bible college about a year or two ago. He said, Brother Bush, I can't find you on Facebook. I said, you're not going to find me on Facebook. He said, how can you build a church without Facebook? He said, you can't do that. I said, shh, don't tell my people that. And I very kindly reached in my pocket, pulled out my New Testament, and said, if you'll put your face in that book and get off Facebook, you can build a church.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? God has smiled on Grace Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
We've just been given a $45,000 gift to help us with our building program. That doesn't happen in churches a lot anymore, just so you know. And we ought to thank God for it. Can I tell you something? I thank God our church got together as individuals and families and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. My phone on Monday and Tuesday was going crazy. Do we know yet? Do we know yet? Do we know yet? Preacher, do we know yet? Do we know yet? Do we know yet? Thank God. I said, no, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Can I tell you something? I'm glad God got to spend time with us, but let me ask you a question. Have you spent as much time thanking him for it as you did begging him for it? I think God is pleased to do what he did, but we need to make it known among the people.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with us declaring to our children, look what God did.
Wow.
By the way, it's not look what the preacher did, it's look what God did.
Right. Yes.
The preacher didn't go looking for it, it came to us. We talked to God, God got it for us and brought it our way. And he's quite capable of doing all of that.
Yes.
Now, God smiled on us for this piece of property we're getting ready to close on. $89,000 for 4 acres of property right across the Jefferson County line. Property right across the street is going for $110,000 an acre. Okay. Property right next door to it, let's see, there's 12 acres for $559,000. That's going for about $50,000 or so an acre. We're getting 4 acres for 89. And God's held it open for us for 7 months.
Yep. Amen.
Can I tell you something? We need to thank God for that. Men, we've been out there a couple times walking that property and praying over it. God's done it. Let's declare it to everybody. It's time for us to not let people forget what God has done. We're getting ready to close on the property. I believe great growth is ahead for Grace Baptist Church. I believe great growth is on the horizon. We're going to grow while we're here. I promised you. I've promised God. We're not going to stop knocking on doors and going soul winning to build a building. We'll pay somebody else to build the building. We're going to do God's work. Let man do man's work. I really believe if we'll work on doing what we're supposed to do, God will help the structure to go up faster. We can get in it faster, and more people are going to come, and we're going to fill it faster.
Amen.
And just so you know, I've already got plans approved for a second building just like it, right next door to that one. We're putting all the infrastructure in so that all the utilities going in can handle two buildings. You say, why? I'm planning growth, and there's no sense in spending extra money for the second building. It's already approved. Say why? I plan on growing. I was with a businessman, the man who's given us the money. He said, I see you running a school one of these days. I said, shut your mouth. I said, not unless you're going to come be the principal. He said, mm-mm. I said, I'm sure someday in the future. He said, oh no, it's coming faster than you think, preacher. He said, I haven't been with you long, but I can tell what's going on in this church. He said, it's not going to stay where it's at. And he said, it's already growing. He said, look out. He said, you open up a building. He said, it's going to go crazy. I said, I know. I said, I just need a place to put it. I got to build something. I said, we're crammed into that stupid 2 rooms where I'm at right now. We went from a 37,000 square foot warehouse building with all the room we could run in and then some. I said, but it was killing us financially, $8,000 a month. I said, we toned down, got into this thing so we could handle loan payments and everything else. I said, we're doing everything we're doing. I said, I don't plan on stopping building the church while we build a building. I said, I've promised God, I've promised my people, we're not going to take 10 years to build a stupid building. We're going to pay somebody to build the building. We'll make the payments on it. We're going to fill it with people. The people are more important than the structure.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Now, it's wrong to forget God and to teach it to the next generation and generations to come. There are people in this room, if I made you go into a side office here and praise God for 20 minutes, you couldn't do it. You wouldn't even know what to do. Say why? Because nobody's ever taught you about praising God, thanking God for what he's done. Can I tell you something? How will the next generation know what to do if we don't teach them what to do?
That's right.
And tell you why soul winning's almost a thing of the past in America today, because the last generation quit doing it. Churches have quit gone soul winning. Now they're getting into all their cute little ministries. Let's go take surveys. We'll ask people questions. And if they check certain questions, we'll go back and we'll have a higher percentage of people get saved because they answered these questions. Who are we to play God?
Right.
Man, I've knocked on a many a door and thinking that guy is not going to listen to me. And he got saved. The one I knocked on who I thought was going to get saved, he slammed it in my door. Or slammed the door in my face. Slammed it in my door. Slam me in the door. I want to live for God as long as I can. Give it all I got as long as I got it. I surrendered to preach 36 years ago next Sunday. I preached my first sermon 36 years ago, August 1st, 1980. Can I tell you something? Those two people sitting right back there will tell you, I haven't slowed down one bit in all these years. I just keep speeding it up. I keep finding another gear and keep the gas pedal to the metal and going to give it all I got. I won't rust out. I may burn out, but bless God, I'm not going out slow.
Amen.
I might blow a gasket, but I'm not going to rust out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, hang on for a second here. I want, when I'm dead and gone, for this church to keep on going. I think it's a sin. I think it's a shame. I think it's a crime for somebody to give their life building a church and the next generation destroys it.
Yes, sir.
I've watched it happen over and over and over and over and over again. Can I tell you something? God didn't die.
Amen. No, he didn't.
We have failed to transfer to the following generations that which we're supposed to do. You go to the book of Judges chapter 1. I have a sermon someday I'll preach. It's called Joshua Had No Joshua. Bible says that the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Moses and all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. There rose up a generation that knew not God. Can I tell you why? Moses trained a Joshua, but Joshua trained no Joshua. When Joshua died, everything went back to where it was before there ever was a Moses or a Joshua. We have failed to transfer to the next generations what it's supposed to be. Thank God. Just 2 weeks ago, my dad and my daughter were out soul winning, and my dad led Brian to the Lord, Brian McCormick to the Lord.
Praise
him. I told my daughter, I said, girl, do you understand how rare that is in America today?
Right.
Somebody going soul winning with their grandpa,
mm-hmm.
Watching their grandpa win somebody to Christ, been a deacon since Noah got off the ark.
Yeah,
yeah, he'll build it. I'm not going there. Ooh-wee. Getting harder in here. Can I tell you something? I thank God my kids have a heritage like that.
Yes,
right.
But I want to transfer down to my grandkids and my great-grandkids that kind of heritage too.
Yes.
I want my children to pass it on to their children and to their children's children and to their children's children's children. My son Joshua texted me today, sent me a picture. He had 4 visitors in church this morning. I said, good job.
Amen.
My son Jeff texted me and said, Dad, we had 3 visitors on our bus today.
Amen.
I said, good job, buddy. My wife said, they're beating us. I said, good.
I said,
I have no problem at all being beaten in that kind of thing. I'm not in the competition, but I'm glad they were all producing.
Yes, sir.
I got one that's in full-time service. I got one that's a layman working on a bus route as a layman. Thank God for it. Well, he said they had to be in full-time service to serve God. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry. I got 16 minutes or less. Now, number one, what should we do? We're not supposed to hide our praise for God.
Right.
Don't hide your praise for God. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Praise is what God has done for and through you. Can I tell you something? You need to teach your children how to praise God by you praising God.
That's good.
When's the last time your children have heard you praise God?
That's
Right. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm not just talking about hollering in church, though it wouldn't hurt some of you to grunt every once in a while. Yeah, buddy. You know, if you hear something that is right and you agree with it, it's not wrong for you men to shout, amen.
Amen.
If you get happy and it touches your heart, it's not wrong to say, praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, I'm for it. Everybody doing all right? You seeing where I'm going? It's not over yet. Much of our singing is praise to God. I don't think you ought to stand there like a bump on a log during the song service and just stand there and watch everybody else sing. You say, well, if you heard me sing, no, you've heard me sing. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up, brother, mate. It might not sound good, but guess what? Praise God anyhow.
Yes.
Amen. So I'd be embarrassed. You don't have to be any more embarrassed than Brother Stoltz and I.
That's right. That's right.
Good night. You don't have to sing great. God didn't say you had to sound like some opera singer. Thank God.
Hey.
Sounds like they need new clothes because they're too tight. The way they, woo, all that kind of stuff. Well, you're just not cultured. Thank God. At least my clothes fit and I don't sound like that. Can I tell you something? We ought to participate in singing. Young people need to learn to sing.
Yes, right.
Children need to be taught to sing. Adults need to be taught to sing. Men need taught to sing. It's not sissy to sing. Matter of fact, it's godly and it's manly to sing. Just so you know. And it doesn't have to sound good, but y'all do it. Lester Roloff couldn't carry a tuna in a bucket with a handle. But he sang. By the way, we don't need our music to match the world. We need it to match God's word. We ought not match their breathy styles. We shouldn't be up there as we sing. Gag. We don't need the charismaniac praise and worship services either. Everybody up there jiggling around, doing all kinds of stuff like this. God didn't say get up there and jiggle and dance.
That's right.
You won't find a public praise and worship service anywhere in that book.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But your singing is praising God for what He has done if you have the right music.
Yes, sir.
Did you know you're supposed to praise God in private?
Yep.
I was here early this morning. My daughter left. The bus had left. I started walking around and I was praying for all the different Sunday school classes. I was in every Sunday school room. I was in the nursery, taking a nap in the, no. I had been everywhere and I started going through and just praising God. I'm glad nobody else was in this building at that hour. Because they'd have thought, what in the world is going on in that kook's head? I'd been praising God for different things. I opened up the door and said, well, glory! And I thought, what time is it? Somebody here? I just was excited about what God was doing. I got to the top of the steps. I said, God, I can't wait for everybody to get here because I don't know what you're going to do yet, but I'm ready for it to happen.
Amen.
You know what? I'm glad that's not unusual. You know, my children don't think it's weird if Dad says, praise God. Good night. We've been in stores. I'm praising God. We've been in public. I'm praising God.
Yeah.
I go to the sheets to get coffee at 5 in the morning. I'm over there pouring the, you know, extra dark roast coffee. I was there the other day. I was so tired. I could see that coffee going in there. And I said, oh, praise God. Great big old burly looking fella. He said, what did you say? I said, praise God. He said, okay, what for? I said, because in just a couple minutes, that's going down the hatch and going to help wake me up, and it's going to taste so good. I said, I thank God for that. He just looked at me. I said, man, I'm a Baptist preacher. I reach in my pocket and hand him a gospel tract.
Amen.
He said, you had to be a preacher because nobody else going to praise God for coffee. Say, doesn't that embarrass you? Not at all.
Amen.
Now, I don't think that you ought to just be goofy with it. I don't think you ought to walk into the store and say, oh, thou God of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the other Boam boys.
Thank you, Jesus, for all the food here. Help me to pay for it. You know, I don't think you ought to get that way, all right? Keep it in private a little bit. But we need to learn to praise God in our homes. You ought to be thankful at home. When's the last time you ladies quit complaining about having to cook dinner and be thankful you had food on the shelf? Instead of complaining about the dirty clothes, praise God you got them and got a washer. You don't have to run down to the creek and do it on a rock. You get your bathroom to where it doesn't work, you're going to thank God for a commode too. Amen? Indoor plumbing. No lie, cross my heart, hope April dies. I preached in a church in the 1990s that had two-seaters, a men's two-seater and a woman's two-seater outside in the 1990s in Ohio. It wasn't until 1995 or 1996 when they got their new building that's the first time they ever had indoor plumbing for the church. Okay? I'm not kidding. Now, those people knew how to praise God for a potty.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy. Especially when it's 100 degrees out or 20 below zero. Both extremes, it's not good. That preacher was on a strict time schedule. So people could get out and go to the store and go to the bathroom, amen? Wait a minute. That was all the way into the 1990s. Guess what? You can build a church without... We got two of them that lock up if you don't wedge the door, amen? It's not what I want for you. And when we build our building, we'll have nice bathroom facilities.
Yes,
amen. But can I tell you something? Praise God for everything you got. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry. Number two, we're supposed to, by the way, teach your children to praise God for what they get. They might not have much, but they can thank God for it. Good night, I got a 2004 Ford F-150 with 187,000 miles on it. Praise God for my old truck. I don't have to have a 2016 new F-150 with all the bells and whistles, unless you want to buy it for me. Honestly, I wouldn't want one. I like my old truck. I do. I thank God for it. It hauls wood. It hauls deer. What else do you need a truck for?
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Just make sure you don't put the seatbelt on when you pull the shrubs, brother. We have learned if you jerk on the seatbelt hard enough, the airbags deploy, don't they, Brother Barnes? oh, my soul. Can I tell you something? We need to learn to teach our children to praise God for what they have. Quit complaining about what you don't have and start praising God for what you do have.
Yes.
Number two, we must show God's strength. God said not only should we praise Him, but we should show His strength. Did you know that living by faith shows how strong God is and how weak you are? There's times you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to ask God to provide for you when you don't have it to provide. It's not easy watching your children struggle, but may I say this, my adult children have begun to struggle some from time to time, and they've had to learn to live by faith. Guess what? It's strengthened their faith, and watch what God can do.
Yes, sir.
Not easy on mom and dad. And I got to look back and realize that's what we did to our moms and dads.
Yes,
they just left and went to Florida to go work. My wife said, they got to move so far away. I said, we went to California the first time. She said, shut up. No, she said, be quiet in the Lord. No, she said, shut up. you know, we need to show our children that living by faith is a good thing to do. You know, living without something you need and learning to pray and ask God and beg God for it until you get it, it's not a bad thing. Boy, that's a good statement. We need to not attack our enemies so that our children know when their enemies attack them, they don't have to attack back. God will take care of it. Some of you walk around and grumble about somebody that didn't treat you right at the store, and they turned their nose up at you and wouldn't talk to you, and your kids see your bad attitude against another Christian. Can I tell you something? Why don't you show them a good attitude? Everybody doing all right? We need to pray for miracles for our building project. Can I tell you why? So that your children and your grandchildren can find out what God can do with a church that's yielded to God and see what God can do.
Yes,
right. That's good.
Boy, that's good stuff. We need to go soul winning to see God do what we cannot do. Did you know you never know who's going to get saved? You never know. The man that knocked on my daddy's door and won him to Christ 50-some years ago didn't know who he was winning to the Lord. Didn't know who his children would end up being. How God would use me. Had he not knocked on that door, what would have happened?
Right.
If somebody didn't knock on your door, where would you be right now? There's a song. I want you to sing it with me. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Hey, let's talk about Jesus.
Amen.
Let's quit complaining about all the other things going on. Well, did you know I heard the president this week? Well, no wonder you're depressed. I read Fox News this week and sent out a text to a couple of you folks, and I was excited. He said, we shouldn't wall ourselves off to economic globalization. You say, what is that? One world government. I just preached on it a couple of weeks ago. You say, doesn't that scare you? No, because we're out of here. The rapture takes place before that happens. Glory to God, it's getting closer. Some of you are so depressed. Yeah, well, I got this problem. I got that problem. Well, why don't you talk about Jesus instead of your problems? Maybe some of your problems will get taken care of. We need to stand on the Bible for right and see God change lives, no matter whether the world wants it to change or not. Thank God my wife took a stand recently for the Word of God. You don't know her like I do. She was looking to put some part-time work into some Christian schools in the area. And she put on there, King James only. She lost job opportunity over it. She looked at the guy eyeball to eyeball and she said, well, you say in your handbook that they're supposed to know the truth. How do they know what the truth is if the Bible's not there?
Right.
If you got all the versions, which one's true?
Right.
She got a letter. I don't think your services will be requested. Thank God. Say, are you worried about it? Not in the least bit. I was proud of her.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? I'm glad she's not going wishy-washy on it.
Amen.
It's amazing how they'll allow every other version but the right one.
Right.
If they're tolerable of all, how come they're intolerable of one?
That's right.
Boy, that's a good statement. Number three, I got to hurry because I got 2.5 minutes. We're supposed to show the wonderful works he has done. Verse number four. And his wonderful works that he hath done. Can I tell you something? Grace Baptist Church is not pastored by me. It's pastored by God. This is his church. We're supposed to show the world what God is doing. Can I tell you how to get people to come to church? Start getting excited about your church and what God's doing here.
Amen.
Do me a favor. Don't talk me up. Don't worry, I know you won't. But it's not me, it's what God's doing.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Can I tell you something? The more excited you get about your church, the more people are going, oh, I'm interested in that. We got a businessman in this building. It's here on Sunday mornings, Mr. Cole.
Yeah,
Buzz. Can I tell you something? I'm going to get that man in church one of these days.
He's looking.
He is. He walked by this morning.
Yeah,
he did, sir. When we were walking out, one of the kids was getting in the elevator, and the elevator door started. I said, Cameron, open that door. He pushed it open. I said, go ahead, Mr. Cole, jump in there. He said, well, thank you. He's the guy that went down on the elevator, and I thought it was one of you, and when downstairs, when it opened up, I went, blah, and it was him. Brother Mike was standing there. It was not pretty. I thought, how do you recover from that one? We're good buddies. He knows I'm nuts now. Can I tell you something? Why don't you get excited about your church?
Amen.
I told him this morning, I said, we weren't too loud for you today, were we? I put my hand on his shoulder. He's had a stroke or something. You can tell by the way he walks.
Yeah.
I said, we weren't too loud and bothering you today, were you? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
He said, "Your people are some of the happiest people I've ever seen." I said, "Good, they ought to be." I said, "If not, let me know. I'll take care of it." He said, "I believe you would." I don't know what he meant by that. He probably... We need to keep having visitors every week and go soul winning every week. We need to keep having people saved every week. Can I tell you why God gave us the money he gave us? Because of the visitors and the people saved in this church. We need to keep it going. If we want God to continue to bless us, we've got to keep it going. Psalm 127, verse number 1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It is God that is supposed to build it. We go out there, do the work, and let God bring the increase. We may never run 20,000 people because there's only 18,000 people in Martinsburg. But can I tell you something? We can build a great work for God here.
Amen.
We need to look at every little victory as a big victory as God sees it. Having visitors come to church is a big thing. Having visitors come back week after week is a big thing. Having people come and get help and strength and get encouraged is a big thing.
Amen.
Say, well, I know somebody came to church and they're pretty sinful. Well, you're here.
Amen.
You're here. Well, I know what kind of sin they did. Well, then quit talking about it. Why don't you get on your knees, talk to God about it, get right, ask him to go out soul winning with you and see what God will do with both of you sinners.
Amen.
There's growth that you can't always measure by numbers, just so you know. Did you know? You ought to show your children how wonderful sunrise and the sunset is. And that God did it.
Right.
Sitting at the ball game last night and there was a rainbow over the stadium. I was watching Brother and Mrs. Barnes take pictures of the crazy rainbow. We were thinking about God. We were hoping it was going to rain. Did you know that I can praise God for using a nobody like me? 36 years ago. Shy, introverted. You don't know how shy and introverted I was. Say, what happened? I don't know. But God kicked in. And something happens. It snaps when I get behind this thing. My wife will tell you, I'm not the most courageous person in the world. I'm not one of these people that just likes to walk up and, hello, how's everybody doing? It's not natural to my flesh. I want to hide in the corner and suck my thumb and have nobody notice me. I really do. It is not easy for me. I've told you this before. You're tired of hearing it. Every time I go soul winning, my first thought, I hope they're not home. I've been soul winning for 38 years, almost 40 years. And I still think, I hope they don't answer that door. Say why? Because I got to talk to them. I don't know who they are. Are they going to get mad at me? Cuss me out? Stick a gun in my face? Sick their dog on me? Let their dog use the bathroom on my feet? You just never know. Can I tell you something? It's not me, though. It's God. Let's declare the works among our people. You know, when I talk to my boys tonight, when they call, we're going to praise God about what God did with all of us today. I'm glad that my phone was buzzing all afternoon from preachers all over the country. Hey, we had 6 visitors. We had 2 visitors. We had 5 visitors, 1 profession of faith, and 2 baptized today. And my phone all day long. I have no idea how many they had in church. I don't give a rip, but we were talking about what God was doing.
Amen.
We don't talk numbers. We talk about what God's doing. Can I tell you something? That's how you pass it down from generation to generation. I caught something my daughter did this morning. She doesn't know I did. She knows her dad every week, every Sunday morning, texts about 20 preachers across America. Her phone was going crazy on the way to the bus route this morning. I said, "Who are you texting?" She said, "Pick one." I said, "What?" She said, "A lot of my college friends." I caught what she was doing. She's keeping up with her friends at college over the summer, encouraging them on Sunday morning to do something for God.
Amen.
I caught it. I'm old, but I'm not dead.
Right.
I thank God for that. Say, where did they get it? I've called my grandmother every week for good night, 25 years or more. You know that my children talk to their grandparents every week? I wonder where they got it.
Right.
I wonder where they got it. Well, I hope my kids can learn how to praise God.
Right. Exactly.
Serve God. See God work the same way. And they will if we'll declare it from this generation to the next, to the next, to the next. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's not forget God. Let's not forget to teach God to our generation, to our children's generation, to our grandchildren's generation. Let's pass it from generation to generation. Let's not be satisfied, but we've got to do it now. America's in the shape she's in because for generations we've not been doing it right.